As I've grown up faithfully serving the Lord all these years, pastoring several different churches, seeing him go into retirement, then just like George Foreman come out of retirement and then win the heavyweight championship. He didn't win the heavyweight championship. He went back and pastored a church, and really a church that was somewhat struggling and kind of floundering around, and got things organized, and it's a vibrant church that's doing great things and is doing very well. And I just thank the Lord so much for his ministry and how God has been able to use him and how he's been used in my life, just to have people like that you can look up to that are faithfully serving God. It's a real blessing, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to have him come preach for us. We're very blessed to have him as a member of our church. And Brother Williams, why don't you come and preach this morning?
This preaching's an interesting thing. The message this morning is entitled Encouragement. And when Brother Abels asked me to do this several weeks ago, I didn't know, but okay, this is the message God gave me, and good enough for me. My schedule was to leave here this afternoon and go to Parsons, Kansas, and preach tonight and tomorrow through Wednesday. This message came real quick and easy, and the messages wouldn't come for there very easily. I don't know if God gave me any or not. I got me some up, but I don't know if God gave me any. Does that make sense? And yesterday, Brother Dusher knew what was going on in our lives and had told me that he had made other arrangements just in case. And I had to call and cancel this week's meetings. The first time in my life I ever had to do that, other than maybe getting the flu on missing a Sunday morning or something where I pastored. So I need a little encouragement. When God gave me this message, had you asked me, Melvin, how's it going? Fine. No, I mean, how's it really going? My answer would have been, it's a great time to be Melvin Williams. My weight is stable. Now, you skinny people don't understand that, but you fat folks do. Because it's either going up or you're struggling to get it back under control. Well, I take offense at that. Well, then you're fat folks. Because the skinny ones didn't, but you understand. My weight has been stable. My health is good. Was good for where it's at. My wife and I were doing well. My grass is growing in my yard better than it ever has. My hot rod's running good. Life was good. Life is good. Of course, things, you know, with my wife is we've gone through a test. Pray for her still. This morning she's looking better. Yesterday evening I was ready to take her back to the hospital. Last night late, actually. But it's looking better this morning. If you don't know, she had part of her small intestine removed, and there was a lot of infection in her abdomen and all the gory details that go with that. And she had been off antibiotics for several days, but it flared back up, the infection did. And so I went last night late and got her some more, and it's looking better today. Praise God. Amen. She needs your prayers. But as those around me were going through struggles, I care. And I'm thankful Janice and I were talking here a while back that in our married life, a huge percentage of the tears we've shed were for other people. That's a good life. That's a good life. And as I know our church family, the struggle's been going there. Now my heart goes out to David and Heather and their families, Brother and Mrs. Abels. But they're not the only ones. Our church has struggles. And we ought to care about one another. But even more important than the family love that we have in our church, and I'm so thankful for that, we have a God who cares. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 3 where it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." As I said, the lives in many of our church are being tested. Folks are being tried with struggles. That's part of life. When life is tiring, when you're struggling with your sin, when family members aren't saved yet, when bills aren't paid, when school is different and or work is exhausting, when your health is failing, when your loved ones are hurt, when the future is unsure, maybe when a good friend leaves, it's real easy to get discouraged. Discouragement is a plague. It's a thief. It steals your vitality, your zeal, your joy, your peace, your contentment. Amen. And if discouragement stays long, its friends show up. Their names are fatigue, hopelessness, despair, self-pity, depression, doubt, and even bitterness. That's the direction we go. Well, what is discouragement? Well, first place, it's dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. It's the result of blindness, not physical, but spiritual. It's ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday. You know, I can get so focused on my problems right now, but the truth is my grass is still growing well. I haven't been around it lately, but I think my hot rod's still running good. And I've even lost 5 pounds in the last couple of weeks. So everything's not gloom and doom. But boy, it sure seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? But the greatest problem with discouragement, it's an unawareness of the presence of God in our lives. We get so inward focused, we lose concern for the needs of our brothers and sisters and fellow man. We begin to not even think about, and if we do, we question the promises of God. If we have nothing to rely on, or we forget our blessings and just look at our circumstances, then that is when discouragement really sets in, begins to take hold of our lives. And instead of having a pity party of, woe, poor little me, and look at me, and look at what I've got going through, and look at my problems, instead of being like that, we need instead to be encouraged. Well, how can you be encouraged? Well, David, when his world was falling in, David encouraged himself. God encouraged him. The Lord knows all about our troubles, and He cares. He cares. In Him, you can find comfort, peace, and encouragement. You need to find Him and His words, and by faith rest in God. Well, why should I be encouraged? Well, first of all, because God is a God of mercy and comfort. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now get this. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's His title. That's His claim. He says, that's me. That's who I am. And that's who we have for our help. He's called the Father of mercies. Mercy means compassion, pity. Dealing with nurses this past week, it was fun. Most of them, maybe with one exception even, very compassionate, very caring, top-notch care Janice got in the hospital. And this one young lady was caring, and she took good care of Janice, but it was amusing because whatever came up, it revolved right back to her. Either she had had the same disease, or somebody in her family had, or this was wrong with her also, and this is also the problem she had. And you know how it is? And it was all about her. When in fact, it's supposed to be all about me. With God, He takes pity. He's a God of pity. He cares about you. And when you hurt, He hurts. The shortest verse in the Bible is what? Why did He wait? It wasn't because He knew Lazarus wasn't coming forth. Is because those around Him were hurting Him, and that hurt Him. When those He loved and those He didn't like very well were hurting, it still hurt Him. Because He's a God of compassion. and pity. It's something felt in the heart, and it is felt in God's heart. He feels mercy and pity towards you and me. He cares. He's the author of mercy. He doesn't seem very merciful. Listen, he brought to you through Jesus Christ salvation.
Amen.
That's the greatest mercy that God can show to mankind.
Amen.
I know what I deserve, and I got a pretty good idea what you deserve, and it's not the mercy of God. It's an eternity in hell with punishment and torture and agony. But that's not my future, and it doesn't need to be your future. As a matter of fact, I believe the great host here this morning, it's not our future. Amen? We're going to heaven. Why? God's mercy. God's mercy. He feels it. He's the author of it. It brings salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and deliverance. Now, Christian, I'm afraid too often we realize our sins are forgiven, but we lose sight of the fact that we are delivered from them. This thing of disappointment and discouragement is oftentimes because God has forgiven us, but we don't forgive ourselves. When I was a baby Christian, I doubted my salvation. And you know what the biggest problem was? I knew what I was before I got saved. Why would God want something like that in heaven? Well, first place, He doesn't. Number two, that's not me anymore. He washed my sins away. And you are in the same condition if you're saved.
Right.
He doesn't see us as we were. He sees us as He made us. New creatures in Christ Jesus. We're no longer under the fear of eternal damnation because of Jesus Christ. Because of His sacrifice, because of His shed blood for us. He's the Father of mercy. The Father of mercy. The author and the Father. Not only did He write what it was, He's the one that made it.
Yep.
Psalm 86 verse 5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." My attitude towards God used to be, here's this great big God, and He's just waiting for me to expose myself so that He can squash me like a bug. And I'm afraid that's the attitude of a whole lot of the world concerning our Heavenly Father. But that's not who He is. He doesn't want to squash us. He wants to save us.
Amen.
He doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to forgive us.
Amen.
He doesn't want to bring judgment. He wants to bring mercy because He loves us.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
The word comfort means exhortation. Comfort. Now, that's a good definition for comfort, isn't it? Comfort. And encouragement. We find comfort in some unusual things. Last 2 weeks, my wife had a brown blankie that she brought from home and a blue pillow. Now, the hospital furnished her umpteen pillows and I have no idea how many blankets, and she would use those, but for the comfort, she took her brown blankie and her blue pillow. Why? Because that's where she found the best comfort in that type of apparatus. That's okay. This world we seek comfort and pleasure all over the place. But here's the real source. Here's the real source. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus said, "I go away, but the Holy Ghost is coming, and he's our Comforter." Amen. He's the one who's with us today. Why? Because God is the God of comfort. He's the God of exhortation. And he's the God of encouragement. We don't have to wallow in a desperate situation, folks. We can be encouraged to have victory. And all that comes from God, who is the God of mercy. So you can ask, how is this comfort received from God? Okay, I want comfort. I understand a brown blankie or a blue pillow. But how do I get God's comfort? First of all, by faith. You trust Him. I don't know about your God, but the God of the Bible is a loving, gracious God to those who have put their faith and trust in Him. Well, how do you know? Because God said He's the God of comfort. If He says it, that's good enough. That settles it. We need to act on it. I worked on the road for several years away from my family. And the devil delighted in waking me up about 3 o'clock in the morning with fear for my wife and children at home. I think I may have told this before even here, but I had two choices. I could call them, scare them to death, wake them up, cause uproar in the house, or I could get in my car and go home and get there about the time I was supposed to be at work. I could do that, or I could pray, "God, build a hedge about them. You take care of them. I need to go to sleep." Amen. I chose to trust God. And it was a faith-building time for me. But don't you think things could have happened? I know they could have happened, but praise God, they didn't happen. Because He comforted me. Comfort comes from God, who is the God of comfort, mercy, and love. Look, it's not a little angel sitting on your shoulder. But don't you believe in guardian angels? I do, but they come at the instruction of God. It's not a cosmic force. Don't you believe in karma? No! That kind of sums it up for me. It's not a pill. Mind numbing. It's not psychotherapy or a quick, clever slogan that some, and they usually tend to come from ladies because they're more sensitive than us guys, that warms our hearts and makes me cry. But that's not what it is. It is God who comforts our hearts with meaning, lasting comfort. Well, how is it received from God? By faith, from others. God uses His people to comfort us. Folks, when you've told me you're praying for my wife this past week, that brings comfort. Amen. When I see the outpouring of love for Megan and Heather and David, their other children. That comforts me. We're not in this alone. When I see other people lose family members or come and tell us how they've prayed for us during our time of loss, that's real comfort. And may it, by the same token, when I put my arm on someone's shoulder and say, brother or sister, I'm praying for you, I hope it brings comfort.
Amen.
Because I can't really do anything. Isn't it a helpless feeling when you ask somebody, what can I do to help? Pray. That works. Real comfort comes from others, and it comes through His Word. Have you ever noticed when disruption comes in your life, when things get real tough, the first thing you have a struggle with is staying up with your Bible reading? I was doing real good on my Bible reading through October. November's not been so good. Why? Well, because I was sitting in a hospital room with nothing to do. Well, doesn't that make sense that that would have been a good time to read your Bible? And I don't think I'm the only one that's that goofy. I just really don't. We need the Word of God in hard times. We truly do. And we need to accept the wooing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. When He's trying to tell us stuff, we just need to listen. He is called the Comforter, and He lives right inside us. He's available to comfort us wherever we are. He's there. We need to take encouragement because God is there in your afflictions. Notice verse 4 there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now this begins to focus on something else. I want to get there in a minute. But number one, in our tribulation. Tribulation means trouble, anguish, persecution, burden, and of course, affliction. That can be mental, physical, outward, or inward. We can have tribulation from all sources, can't we? It comes in all different shapes and sizes. Sickness, financial difficulties, loss of a loved one, an unsure future, an automobile accident. But also, and this is something very important, affliction occurs in the heart, in that place where we get frustrated, confused, and hurt. Guard your heart. Why do we have affliction, preacher? First of all, because we live in a fallen world. When God created Adam and Eve, it's interesting to me. I personally believe their bodies were bodies that would die. Else why would He put the tree of life in the midst of the garden? Now, I believe they lived in the perfect environment, and their lifespan was not like ours. It was hundreds or even thousands of years, and with that medicinal tree of life could be forever. That's why He moved them out of the garden, you see. He thought the most horrible thing for a person to do would be to live forever in this present body, healthy, without Him. Nothing can be worse than being without God. So He removed them from that tree of life so that they could have deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ. We live in a fallen world, folks, and it's not hard to convince us, is it? It takes a world with trouble in it to train Christians for their high calling as children of God. Notice that again in verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Listen, when you've been through the fire, you have compassion for those in the fire. And the truth of the matter is, when we see someone in the fire or have been in the fire, and they come and say, I'm praying for you, we understand, and it does comfort us more than someone who doesn't know where we're at. Who doesn't really even probably care where we're at. But He lets us go through those to help our brothers and sisters. James 1 verses 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That doesn't mean should I steal or whatever. That means troubles, testings. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants to mature us, and the way He does that is by giving us testings, tribulations, so that we can help those around us. And the only way we can do that is when we get outside of our little cells and look to those who are hurting and in trial and in tribulation. So then, afflictions are a way of making us better. Better for His service. Better for the help of those around us. See, we don't really have to worry whether He's going to take care of us. He is. He already has. That's what the cross is for. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? Well, you could die. Hallelujah! Now see, I can say that with more conviction than I could when I was 25. Because it's closer and it's more real. And truly, I'm looking forward to being dead. I'm not looking forward to dying, but I am looking forward to being dead. Because then I'll be truly alive forever. You should take encouragement because God is there in our afflictions. You should be encouraged because you can be instruments of comfort to others. Verse 4 again. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We bring glory to God when we comfort others. We truly do. And let me tell you something else. Being used of God makes you feel good. It does. It helps you when you're able to truly help someone else in a spiritual way. But that's not the only reason to help someone. But it does help when the Holy Ghost uses you in His work. His will. Well, preacher, I can't be used of God because I'm healthy and I've not had all these troubles and I've not... Number one, I believe young people have troubles. It took me till I was about 40 years old to get out of high school. literally. I worked with teenagers until, from the time I was a teenager until about that age. I understand your struggles, brother. And having said that, you believe that, don't you? But I also understand the blessings and the encouragements. But you can still have a heart for other folks. In my personal family, I have a nephew and his wife who got their greatest blessing in their lives short of salvation because one of our nieces saw a girl in trouble and encouraged her, instead of killing her baby, to give it to them. Why? Because she noticed the girl was down and having a struggle, and she had compassion on her. Can God use young people? Oh my, yes. But as we suffer and show our compassion, remember this, he suffered first. Let's not focus on ourselves. Let's keep the focus where it belongs, on our Savior, on our Lord, on our great Comforter. You should be encouraged because the comfort you receive from God comes through Jesus. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. What this means is simply this, that all comfort, encouragement, all the hope that we receive through people, through the Word, through circumstances, are filtered through Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have any hope, any comfort, any peace. Therefore, because it's filtered through Him, that comfort is pure, good, and right. The comfort that comes from a bottle or a pill is not real comfort. It's just a numbing. But the comfort that comes through Him is both pure and peaceable and perfect. It's received by faith, not at a great cost to us, but a tremendous cost to Him. And have you ever wondered, I certainly have, when we see people suffering far greater than I've ever suffered, far greater maybe than you have ever suffered, and you see a peace upon them that you cannot explain? Have you ever wondered about that? Do you know why that's there? It's because when our sufferings are abundant, so is His comfort. It's a spiritual comfort received by faith, by active choice. I had a neighbor who chose to be in a fizz all the time. And one day I told him, I called him by name, and I said, I just wish you knew what you have in God. He knew the Lord. He was a saved man. But my, he wasn't trusting the Lord for comfort and peace. Now, you say, well, isn't he foolish? Yeah, aren't we? Aren't we, though? Encouragement is something that belongs to you as a Christian. You don't have to live in a world of hurt and doubt. You can be comforted in the Lord. You don't have to live alone. You can live with Him. You don't have to weep in solitude. Jesus knows, Jesus cares what's going on with you. You have the body of Christ to lift you up in your church. You have the Word of God to teach you and to help you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you who warms your soul. You're not alone, my friend. You need to be encouraged in the Lord. You have the God of encouragement waiting to show you in your time of trouble His mercy and love. But you got to trust Him. You've got to know Him. You've got to depend on Him. You've got to go to Him. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes. Do you have the God of comfort in your heart? That's the first question. If not, today's the day. Are you comforted by Him? Are you willing to let Him comfort you? And you say, yes, 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 to all that. Well, are you willing to comfort others? Let Him comfort others through you. To do that, you're going to have to move out of your little self. Not worry so much about how your grass is growing, but rather see if you can help others get their grass growing. Comfort others. Care about others. Encouragement comes from God. But He can use you to encourage others in the Lord by Him. Yep. Are you there? Salt stand. Father, we thank You that You're such a good, gracious, loving, merciful God. That You know and care about what's going on in our individual lives. In our life as a church body. And Lord, when we see others in our church facing horrible problems, do we care? We know You do, but do we? We ask, dear God, that You'll comfort hearts like only You can. But then, God, that You'll use us to reach out to others. Bind us, Lord, in Christian love together. Help us to take encouragement from one another, but most of all from You because of the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If there's something you need to come talk to God about, why don't you come? We're going to sing page 560, Does Jesus Care?